This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Linda Wertheimer. The Death of Bees by Lisa O'Donnell is a story about two young girls. It's told in their voices and in the voice of their elderly neighbor. The older girl, Marnie, kicks things off. And if you believe, as I do, that the first sentences of a novel are very important and often the most difficult for a writer, try this beginning paragraph, the prologue to the novel.
Today is Christmas Eve. Today is my birthday. Today I am 15. Today I buried my parents in the backyard. Neither of them were beloved.
That's author Lisa O'Donnell. She's from Scotland, as you can hear. She lives in Los Angeles, but she joins us from Rome, where she's on vacation. Welcome to our program.
Hi.
Let me ask you about those first lines. That's kind of jumping in at the deep end, don't you think? I mean, how did you decide to begin that way?
Well, I actually thought about writing it as a screenplay to begin with. And I thought of a girl who had lost her parents speaking. I looked at those lines for a really long time before I decided they were going to be a novel. That's really why I came up with them. I wanted a little girl who was by herself, neglected, alone, and I toyed with the idea of having the parents go on holiday, just abandoning them, but that wasn't enough for my sick mind. I came up with the idea of burying them in the back garden.
Now, this is a narrated novel. There's nothing in the voice of the author. Everything is in the voice of the characters in the book. The two girls, Marnie is the older girl and Nellie the younger. And then there's their neighbor, whose name is Lenny. Perhaps you could just sort of introduce us to those three people.
Marnie is 15. She's tough, talks from the hip, mature, responsible, but she's still a child. She's sexually active. She drinks too much. She's doing a whole lot of things that she shouldn't really be doing for her age. She's older than her years, but there was no one in her life to stop her doing those things. Her parents were very neglectful of her. And, you know, these are people that just weren't paying attention to the children. They were more interested in their own lives and the abuses that they were putting upon themselves.
And then there's Nellie.
And then there's Nellie, and she's, you know, she's got a slight autism. She speaks like the Queen of England. And she's
she really does. It's very funny, the way Nellie talks.
Yeah. She doesn't want to grow up. She wants to pretend everything around her that's happening isn't really happening. So she hides behind this language and she hides behind Marnie. And as the book progresses, we see Nellie becoming more mature and we see Marnie becoming a little bit more vulnerable and not quite as tough as she sets out in the beginning. And together, I hope, the reader sees these two girls coming to meet in the middle.
Now there's Lenny, who is a neighbor.
Yeah, then there's Lenny. And Lenny came about basically through my absolute respect for the older generation. I was raised by my grandmother and she really grounded my sister and I. And I'm really grateful for my grandparents. And I hope I recognize that gratitude by creating this older figure that comes in to save Marnie and Nellie. He observes that they're by themselves and he has his own issues. He has his own remorses in life. He's incredibly lonely for his partner that he lost. And he sees these two girls as a chance to redeem himself and also to fill in the blank in his own life. And he takes them in and he takes care of them. And this unusual family develops.
Now, the beginning chapters of the book are quite gruesome, especially the account of Marnie and Nellie deciding that they would conceal the bodies of their parents. It takes them about a week to decide what to do. And by that time, the corpses are quite nasty. And that chapter, I must say, that's a little hard to take.
Somebody said that as well. They found it quite difficult to get through those chapters. But I had been humorous before those chapters, so I knew that the people would struggle through them because they knew they were assured of some laughs beyond it.
Do you think of this as a young adult book? I mean, every calamity that parents fear for their children, poverty, drugs, dangerous sex, abuse, these girls are exposed to all of it.
Well, I think there's a narrow margin. I hate saying this, but there are 15-year-olds and there are 15-year-olds. Young girls do fantasize about the absence of their own parents, wishing they weren't around. It's not a nice thing to say, but, you know, frustrated teenagers. But I don't think that there's anything in there that would surprise your average parent. I think that they're aware of the dangers their children face, and if they're not, they should be.
I was especially drawn to Marnie, I must say, who determined to keep her sister with her. She's frightened that little Nellie would never survive foster care. Now, I wonder, could you read to us from page 9? It's Marnie, the older girl who is talking, the paragraph right at the bottom of the page.
I suppose I've always taken care of us, really. I was changing nappies at 5 years old and shopping at 7, cleaning and doing laundry as soon as I knew my way to the laundrette, and pushing Nellie about in her wee buggy when I was 6. They used to call me Wee Maw around the towers. That's how useless Jean and Izzy were. They just never showed up for anything, and it was always left for me and left to Nellie when she got old enough. They were never there for us. They were absent. At least now we know where they are.
And they're always making jokes about this. At least now we know where they are. They make jokes about them being in the garden. Now, at a couple of points in the book, the girls talk about the trap of DNA. And what they mean by that is welfare officials left them with their dreadful parents rather than putting them in foster care years before because they were their parents. And most of the book, after the parents are in the garden, is about the children's effort to sort of reconstitute or create a family that they ought to have had.
Absolutely. Well, with Lenny's help, they're able to form a family, but Marnie, from the beginning of the book, is someone who simply doesn't trust the adult world. And, you know, she believes herself to be an adult. And as the novel develops, Marnie comes to realize, I'm still a child. And the flip side for her sister is she comes to realize, I'm not a child. I need to grow up and I need to support my sister.
Lisa O'Donnell's book, The Death of Bees, is published this week. Lisa O'Donnell, thank you very much.
Thank you.